pre-show. Thanks to everybody for tuning in, requesting songs, supporting the show, and yes, trolling along. All very much appreciated. Get your requests in now for the next show. Go over to rnr.show. But it is now time for the main event. The big show. The power at the top of the hour. The media deconstruction that you need to function. They are given every ounce because every second counts in earning their pay each and every day, even on the holidays. They're the hard-hitting, noble-shitting, truth-spring, jingle-playing, future-telling, insanity-quelling, groundbreaking, racist-shaking, troll-baiting, BB-rating, critical-thinking, teaching, value-for-value, preaching, baggy trousers, wearing them and trying to stop swearing and alleviating your fears for over 18 years. What's that worth to you? NoAgendaDonations.com. And then I will be back on Thursday to bump that wattage into your cottage, blast the bass all over your face, stream the bits and bytes for the dames and knights, and the rest of you trolls out in Gitmo Nation. But until then, have a spectacular end to your Memorial Day weekend. I am Darren O'Neill. These are my last few words. Take it away, Podfather.
You are listening to the No Agenda Stream, where freedom lives and censorship comes to get its ass kicked.
Keep it right here. Lock it in and rip the knob off.
I love getting up in the morning to Darren O'Neill. Who the fuck is that?
I don't think I can keep it up. I don't have...
dipping back. WHO cranking up the cash. Whole cycle scripted money directs the play. Dry smile at the coverage, pure coincidence. It's time, talent, treasure, whatever you can spare. Keep the deconstruction independent in the air. Value for value, baby. No agenda, don't play fair. Slide. Starts to rise, you're just a victim of your own supply. Don't get spun up just cause the spin cycle starts. Don't tear down bridges just cause the pressure smarts. It's a bitter pill, it's a hard fact, it's a heavy load to bear. Just stream, no agenda from almost anywhere. Yeah, we gotta keep our feet on the ground before we tear the whole house down. The facts are just the facts, they don't care how you feel. They're heavy and they're sharp and they are completely real. But the panic is a ghost that you invited to the room. And it's dancing on the table, singing anthems of our doom. Don't get spun up just cause the spin cycle starts. Don't tear down bridges just cause the pressure smarts. It's a bitter pill, it's a hard fact, it's a heavy load to bear. Just stream, no agenda from almost anywhere. Yeah, we gotta keep our feet on the ground before we tear the whole house down. Tear the whole house down.
Yeah, toe tappers galore. Absolutely. Whoa, what is that? Is that you?
No.
Yeah, it is you. Hold on.
No, I didn't do anything.
Oh, interesting. Hold on. Where are you? Where are you, man? For some reason, your noise gate is not functioning.
Hello, noise gate.
Oh, there we go. Hello, hello. Testing 1, 2. Hello.
3, 4.
Yeah. I can
5, 6.
I can hear myself in the background there.
Oh, maybe I could.
Yeah, you could turn it down a little bit.
I can always do that.
Let's see. Okay. I can still hear myself. Oh, there we go. That's better. Now let me make sure I can hear you.
What?
What? Are you there? Hello? Are you there? Is anybody home?
In the morning.
Yeah, in the morning to you. And in the morning to the fat lady. In the morning to the fat the beach. In the morning to the Valkyrie. It's the Noah Agenda Trolls in the troll room. Yes, everything is up and working again. Thank you very much for notifying me, and I will notify you now with the bat signal. There it is. Retweet the tweet. Boost the toot. Slash the X. Spin a reel. Do something stupid on the TikToks. Whine on the blue cry. We got episode 1,871 of the best podcast in the universe. Your No Agenda show is next.
Adam Curry, John C. Devore.
Oh, 1-2, test, nice and loud, yeah, test, yeah.
Bum. Okay, you're bumping your mic already.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you bumped the cable.
Nope.
Okay, what was that sound?
I kicked the desk.
Ah, okay, so... Just don't do
nowhere
it.
Near the mic.
Just
but the mic's hooked to the desk.
Oh,
well, so because I kicked the desk, you immediately complained. By the way, Mimi pointed out that you were nuts. She said that during her doing podcasting with you, you were complaining about her shuffling papers.
Yeah.
She says your ears are just too much. They're too much.
Okay. Any more complaints from the Dvorak family? Okay.
Too much.
Okay. Well, it's all right.
Turn down the hearing aids.
I don't wear the hearing aids when I do the show.
Even worse. Okay.
And I love you too.
I will not kick the desk during the show.
Oh, no. You'll move the wires. You'll be fuddling around. And then you say, well, I can't help it. And then you'll mute yourself because you got AVG anti-spam pop-ups.
So Mimi sent me a roll of gaffer's tape.
Hey, we're lucky we're on the air at all, man. I had a drive failure. I had everything go wrong today.
You sound good on today's show.
Oh, well, that's, of course, but it was rather stressful getting everything set. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it on the show.
All right, let's go.
Hit it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Sunday, May 24th, 2026. This is your award-winning Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 1871.
This is No Agenda.
Doing the Bundy Bugnew and broadcasting live from the live music capital of the world, Nashville, Tennessee. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley. Well, I'm sorry. It's the Refinery Row. We wish everybody a happy Memorial Day, John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
You know, by the time you...
Smooth as silk.
Smooth. Nailed it. By the time you get home, you'll be saying Refinery Row.
I won't know where I am.
You won't know anything. Oh, man.
I don't know anything now.
Here I am in the Biodome in Nashville, Tennessee.
What's a Biodome?
Better known as the Gaylord Opryland Hotel.
Why is it called a Biodome?
Because you're entirely enclosed in a dome.
Oh, I've been to that place once. Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it could be raining, could be sunny. You don't know. It's a constant, like, 70 degrees, 72 degrees. And everywhere you go, you're just inside the biodome.
Yeah, it's big.
It's troubling once you realize I've been in this biodome for 3 days. It's a bit much. So, yeah. Since you ask, we are here for the K-Love Music Awards.
The big Gay Love of Music Awards.
That's right. K-Love is, they own pretty much every single contemporary Christian music radio station in the country. Although I don't know if that's going to benefit them long term, but they do have streams. And so every top name in the Nashville music business is here performing live, doing worship services.
Performing live!
Doing worship services. We had a great service this morning. With Bethel worship. No, I mean, it's music. It's like you got 2,000-3,000 people. We're all worshiping. And the great pastor from, what's his name? His name is Levi Lusco he's from Montana, but originally from California. Did a great message. And so we're just getting our buckets filled here.
What was his message?
His message was what to do when you're spiraling. And it was good. It would have worked.
Are you spiraling?
No, but I have. I mean, we've all spiraled at some point. You've never spiraled?
I don't know what it means.
Where you feel bad, you're down, you're depressed, you're not doing well.
I feel bad all the time.
John's in a constant spiral. Exactly. Exactly. Now, before we get started, I don't think this has ever happened to me on an airplane before. I've been recognized for, you know, all kinds of different things.
You were called out at the beginning and they sang a song to you, Happy Birthday.
No, they didn't.
So I'm like half asleep. I'm listening. I got the hearing aids in, so you couldn't tell that I was listening to anything. And I'm listening to Tucker Carlson go on and on and on about the Jews and Israel. And so I'm kind of, you know, like drifting off, and I feel a hand on my arm, and I hear, so, oh, hold on a second. Let me turn off my phone here. ITM. And it was Audra, our flight attendant on our Delta flight to Nashville. And I don't think I've ever had a flight attendant come up to me and throw one in the morning at me.
Nice.
Yeah. And she's like, I've been listening for 6 years. I love what you guys are doing. You've been so great. You've been so helpful. And then her colleague, Carla, was like, man, I got to listen to your podcast because Audra's like jumping up and down. She can't believe it that she's met you guys. So it was really nice.
Hey, you got an extra listener. And that's what counts.
And we got extra peanuts. Yeah.
One at a time. Oh, and you got free. Oh, free. I think it was free. Probably could have gotten those anyway.
Yeah. So I wanted to say
so
hi.
You were talking about some issues you had with the gear.
Oh, man. I had a drive fail. An SSD
solid
drive.
Solid state?
Yeah, solid state. Although it was like half failing and then it kind of came back up. But that screws up a lot of things when that happens. So then you got to plug in the other drive. You got to remap everything. You know, I got the road gear. Although it's Linux. Remember, it's Linux. It's amazing any of this stuff works. But here it is functioning. Knock on wood. Holy Spirit, take us through the whole day. We'll be good. So, yeah. And, it's good to be on the air with you, as it were. Now,
well,
the first thing I'd like to say is that apparently the vice president had to turn around and come right back to D.C. President Trump didn't go to his son's wedding in the Bahamas, even though he was already married, but the wedding ceremony, because it sounds like we have a deal. We've got a deal.
Yeah, another deal.
And I saw you had clips, so I'm trusting that you've got clips about the deal.
I got the deal. I got the deal analyzed. The deal that's in Trump. I believe is in Trump's mind.
Well, first of all, we kind of expected a deal to be here around June 1st because we need to have this all cleared up by the big 250th celebration on July 4th. We can't have a war when we're doing the big celebration.
No.
So we knew it was going to happen, but you think the deal is not a deal?
I don't think it's a deal yet.
Okay.
And they're kind of wishy-washy about it. But, you know, it might be getting close. But, you know, this is supposed to have taken place when he said this whole thing's going to go 6 weeks. I think we're at 11 weeks now, something like that.
Hold on. It was only 6 weeks of actual fighting. All the rest has just been ceasefire.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What am I thinking?
So get it right, man.
So let's play the. I have four clips, and there's three of them are analysis clips, and one of them is the basic BBC clip, which I thought would be the place to go. Iran Trump BS deal. Oh, I called it a BS deal.
Oh, there you go.
BBC.
President Trump has said an agreement with Iran to end the war has largely been negotiated. He made the announcement on social media. Peter Bowes reports.
Mr. Trump, posting on his Truth Social platform, has said
agreement
has
stop
been...
It. The first guy said President Trump, but this other guy comes in and he calls him Mr. Trump, which is a note of disrespect.
Well, everyone's doing it now.
It's President Trump.
Yeah, they can't get that out of their mouth.
Well, the first guy did.
For a second there. It's editorializing. I'm sure the script says Mr. Trump. Anyway, we continue.
Largely negotiated after what he described as a very good call with the leaders of several Gulf states.
Very good call.
And that it was now subject to finalization between the U.S. and Iran. He added that in addition to other elements of the agreement, the Strait of Hormuz would be reopened. But he warned that if a deal could not be reached, no country would ever be hit as hard as they're about to be.
Contradicting Donald Trump's statements, the Iranian news agency Fars, which is close to the Revolutionary Guard Corps, says the Strait of Hormuz would remain under Iranian control.
Well, this is the BBC. The BBC is going to run their line of talk. Of course, they've been funding the whole operation for the from the Muslim Brotherhood and the Lloyds of London and the City of London. Of course, they don't want any deal. They're just talking the talk.
I'm sure they don't want any deal, but here we go with analysis clip one.
We start with President Trump's claim on social media that the U.S. is close to reaching a peace deal with Iran after weeks in which their shaky ceasefire has hung in the balance. Oh. Just days ago, he was threatening to attack Iran again. In his post, Mr. Trump said the deal had been largely negotiated, was being finalized, and would be announced shortly. He also said the Strait of Hormuz would soon be reopened. This comes after Pakistan's army chief went to Tehran to hold talks with Iranian officials. And after Mr. Trump then held a call with Arab allies, in which Pakistan, as the key mediator, also took part, and he held a separate call with the Israeli leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. The U.S. president said both calls had gone very well. Earlier, his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, who's visiting India, also struck an optimistic note when talking to journalists.
There's been some progress done, some progress made. Even as I speak to you now, there's some work being done. There is a chance that whether it's later today, tomorrow, in a couple days, we may have something to say. But this issue needs to be solved, as the president has said, one way or the other. Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. The straits need to be opened without tolls. They need to turn over their enriched uranium. They need to turn over their highly enriched uranium. We need to address that.
Oh, you catch that?
Yeah,
he corrected himself from enriched uranium to highly enriched uranium.
Yeah, so that means something.
That's a deal point there. Hey, give us your highly enriched, whatever that is, and you can keep your enriched.
It's the 60% stuff.
Yeah.
The president has said one way or the other, Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. The straits need to be opened without tolls. They need to turn over their enriched uranium. They need to turn over their highly enriched uranium. We need to address that issue. We need to address the issue of enrichment. These are the president's points consistently. And his preference is always to deal with it in a diplomatic way.
Our North America correspondent, right. Peter Bowes, gave us his assessment.
Here's how that works. Hey, sign the deal or I'll blow you to smithereens.
Of whether this means an end to the war is in sight.
Well, with the caveat that we've heard positive statements before from the president about a potential deal with Iran, this does look as if there is perhaps some sort of breakthrough in the making, although the mood music from Iran is somewhat different.
All right, so far, zero analysis, just calling our president Mr. Trump. They've given nothing so far.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to end up with.
Yeah, statement
because
from Rubio.
Because there's nothing to analyze, let's face it. Essentially, Trump is saying what he feels like saying.
Yeah.
And there's no evidence that anything's going on whatsoever. The blockade's still going on, and he's saber-rattling to an extreme.
Who is blocking? As far as I'm concerned, we're blocking. Who's blocking? We're blocking. They're not blocking. We're blocking.
So we're blocking all the ships, and they're shooting at any they sneak by.
Yeah.
And it's. I feel bad for the people that are ship, the sailors that are on these vessels. They can't eat. I mean, there's no food.
No, they're getting them out. Yes, we're getting the worst reporting in the world.
A couple of guys are sneaking out at night in the dead of night.
No, we're still escorting ships out. We have no reporting. Nowhere. Who's boots on the ground there?
No, we need some more boots on the ground from our side. Okay, here we go, part two.
Saying that as far as they're concerned, gaps remain. As far as the latest talks are concerned, that the issue of a nuclear weapon, also the Strait of Hormuz, hasn't been part of the current round of talks. And in fact, just in the last few minutes, Iran is saying that the Strait of Hormuz will remain under its...
Now, when they say Iran is saying... Is there a mouth on the country that is opening up and going, here's what we're saying? Is it on Twitter? Is it on X? Is it the IRGC? Who is Iran at this point? Who is talking?
MI6?
Oh, yeah.
Management. Nevertheless, we had this quite long, a lengthy statement, Truth Social statement, from the president within the last hour. And this, in part, is what he has to say. He says, an agreement has been largely negotiated, subject to finalization between the United States of America and the Islamic Republic of Iran and other countries. And he goes on, separately, I had a call with Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu of Israel, which likewise went very well. And then he says, final aspects and details of the deal are currently being discussed and will be announced shortly. So I think significantly there we have no mention of nuclear weapons, which is still at the heart of this issue as far as President Trump is.
You notice that, of course, there's no mention of nuclear weapons because they never had a nuclear weapon. All we're hearing about is the dust, the dust. That's the enriched uranium. That's they don't have a nuclear weapon. They have enriched or highly enriched uranium. So now the BBC, after just hearing that from Rubio, are saying, we haven't heard anything about a nuclear weapon.
Concerned. He says that the Strait of Hormuz will be open, but as we're already hearing, that is being disputed by Iran. So perhaps Iran. Just tentatively, very tentatively, we might be moving towards some sort of breakthrough, but this certainly isn't a deal to end the war right now.
Okay. All right. Some sort of breakthrough, but it's not a deal. But we don't know anything. We're the BBC.
There's a couple of things that are interesting in this. Is that Pakistan seems to be playing the real role here.
Yes, yes, I agree.
And Pakistan also has been a safe haven for much of the Iranian Air Force. It turns out that they said they opened their bases up to Iran during the initial bombing, saying if you're worried about your jets getting blowed up,
because
they're
here.
Park them here.
Park them here. Yeah, it's all good.
And so they have a lot of Iran's gear in Pakistan. And so Pakistan has some leverage in that regard.
Well, yeah, they're also the front men for China, which is the country really needs this.
But the sticking point here seems still to be the basic thesis of the Sunnis versus the Shia. And the Pakistanis are not Shia, they're Sunnis.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not subscribing to this 12th Imam theory and the end of the world thesis that the Iranians seem to be all jacked about.
Well, not the Iranians, but some of them. It's not all of Iran.
Yeah, the mullahs.
Yeah, the mullahs. If whoever's still alive, we don't know anything.
We don't know who's running the place.
We don't. And you know what? The Iranians.
I don't think anybody's running the place right now.
No, it's some dude with an X account. Look at me. Look at me. Hey, watch me post this. See what the BBC says next.
Well, much of the impetus for this latest attempt to strike a deal seems to have come from the Pakistani army chief's visit to Tehran and his talks there with Iranian officials to try to bridge the huge gaps between the two sides. So what did they discuss? Here's Kazra Naji from BBC Persian.
The newly appointed spokesman for Iran's negotiating team says the discussions centered on a memorandum of understanding.
Okay, so this annoys me. The newly appointed spokesman, who is he? This is BBC Persia. Persian, I think she said. Shouldn't they be telling us who's talking now?
Yep.
You know, hey,
this is the BBC, which is the great journalist at the BBC.
Hey, at least
they should be telling us, giving us some details.
Yes.
Anything.
At least when we're talking to the press, you know, it's our vice president, our new press secretary. Come on. We're doing better.
BBC Persian.
The newly appointed spokesman for Iran's negotiating team says the discussions centered on a memorandum of understanding, something that will extend the ceasefire and pave the way for a 30 to 60 day period of detailed negotiations between Iran and the United States. Ismail Baghaei has been telling Iran's state television that the main issues under discussion are ending the war, the lifting of the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports, and the release of Iran's frozen assets in banks abroad.
Hold on a second. So this 30 to 60 days, this hasn't come out of the mouths of U.S. spokesholes, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know where this came from, but this is kind of the narrative I'm hearing everywhere. Well, according to what everyone's been hearing, it's 30 to 60 days. It'll be a ceasefire. Not really.
Yeah, we're going to hammer it out.
Yeah. But who is the progenitor of that? Where did that come from other than BBC Persian? We don't know.
They did mention somebody's name in there very casually. It was impossible to tell.
Hold on a second. I missed it then. Hold on.
And the United States. Ismail Barayi has been telling Iran's... Right
there. Ismail Barayi? Who's that guy?
It's blah, 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 blah. I couldn't understand him.
Troll room help. Who is Ismail Barayi?
United States. Ismail Barayi has been telling Iran's state television that the main issues under discussion are ending the war, the lifting of the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports, and the release of Iran's frozen assets in banks abroad.
Yeah.
But significantly, he does not mention anything about Iran's nuclear program or Iran ending its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, something that is an urgent priority for the American side. Hardliners in Tehran are opposed to relinquishing control of the Strait of Hormuz in return for lifting of the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports, a trade-off which could see the opening of this vital international waterway.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the troll room for some help, and all I see is trolls arguing about Liz Cheney. I'm like, are you guys even
Liz Cheney?
I don't know. They're not even. They're not even. They're not even listening to the show. They're just in there arguing with
Liz
each other.
Cheney.
One-upping each other. No. Just, it's all about midterms, election, Florida. We're going to win. We're going to lose. It's no good. Everyone, uniparty. Simmer down, Donna Summer. Said Paul Couture. He's very active these days.
Paul Couture?
Yeah, Sir Paul Couture. He showed up in the troll room like 2 weeks ago, and he's trolling hard, but not listening to the show, apparently. Anyway. So I do have a couple of clips that these are from just before this announcement, which really happened over the last 36 hours. Here's Rubio. This is a global radio, Canada.
As NATO allies gathered in Sweden, the U.S. made it clear it's working on multiple paths to a deal with Iran. Negotiation, and a plan for navigation of the Strait of Hormuz.
There's been some progress. I wouldn't exaggerate it. I wouldn't diminish it.
The U.S. claims the two sides are getting closer to a deal to start formal negotiations. Iran rejects that, characterizing the differences as deep and significant, though Iranian officials did meet with key intermediaries from Pakistan to relay their positions.
You see what we've done to Iran. Iran is dying to make a deal. We'll see what happens.
But the U.S. Secretary of State said he told NATO allies they need a backup plan if talks fail.
Yeah. Plan B is, what if Iran refuses to open the straits? What if Iran decides we refuse to open the straits, we're going to own the straits, and we're going to charge tolls for it?
See, this is the part that bugs me. So you even have the BBC saying that the U.S. controls the straits, that we are controlling the waterway, that we're making sure no one goes to the Iranian ports. And then you've got future President Rubio saying, well, they've got to open the straits. There's not a line of fast boats anywhere. This is theater of the highest level.
We don't know that.
No, of course we know that. There's no line of fast boats saying stop. No, of course not. There's nothing going on in that regard. This is only about what happened to the mines? What happened to all those? That fell off the radar. No one's talking about the mines for a week now because there's no mines.
Okay, at that point, something has to be done about it.
NATO's Secretary General would not openly
Stop a second. So you think the whole thing's a hoax?
No, it's a financial war. I've said this from the beginning. It's if Lloyd's of London won't insure, nobody, for whatever reason, no one wants to use the American reinsurers through DFC and Chubb that were all set up, the International Development Finance Corporation. For whatever reason, nobody wants to use those. So the shipping company's like, oh, it's 100x to insure your ship. Well, we can't sail. That's what this is about. The only couple of brave ones who are like, you know, oh, we're really here for China.
Those guys are snuck through it dead at night by turning off their transponders and heading through at midnight.
Yeah, the transponders is all, that's all bullcrap. The transponders is meaningless at this point. Everyone's spoofing. Nobody knows where anybody really is.
Open the straits. We're going to own the straits, and we're going to charge tolls for it. Okay, at that point, something has to be done about it.
NATO's Secretary General would not openly talk about how the alliance might help. In recent weeks, both the United Kingdom and France have sent aircraft carriers to the region.
This direct assault on freedom of navigation and global commerce impacts us all. It is important that countries are coming together around plans to ensure that the straits can be open for transit.
It is open, man.
The longer the stalemate drags on, the more this global crisis grows. More than 20,000 sailors are still trapped on vessels in the Persian Gulf, unable to leave their ships for months and quickly running out of food.
They need a collective intervention because they are key for our economies, for the supply chains, but also, they are civilians.
Like the rest of the world, they can only wait for the two sides to make a deal. Trapped by a conflict that has no end in sight.
The way I see it, we are blocking the ports of the Iranian ports. And that's where everyone needs to go. Yeah, they got to get their stuff from UAE and from Saudi Arabia, but they're already pumping stuff over the pipelines. Like, yeah, we're getting it out this other way. But the Iranian oil is really the prize here. And so they want tolls, and we're saying no tolls. That's what I keep hearing. Toll. We want a toll. And the toll is not to get through the whole strait. The toll is only to go into the Iranian ports. And the U.S. is saying, no, you can't do that, because then you have too much control. Here's Rubio.
Right now we're negotiating, and we'll...
No, that's Trump, actually, but Rubio's coming.
We'll see, but either we're going to get it one way or the other. They're not going to have a nuclear weapon. You will have... a nuclear war in the Middle East, and that war will come here. That war will go to Europe. We cannot let that happen, and it won't happen. It's not going to happen. That's more important than anything else. I can think of nothing that's more important than the fact that we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon, and we won't.
CENTCOM still enforcing its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, saying as of May 21.
Yes, CENTCOM still blocking. CENTCOM. Everyone's claiming they're blocking.
Nuclear weapon, and we won't.
CENTCOM still enforcing its blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, saying as of May 21, CENTCOM forces have redirected 94 commercial vessels and disabled four while enforcing the blockade to prevent the flow of commerce into and out of Iranian ports.
There it is.
Secretary Rubio on this topic. Here he is just moments ago.
On the issue of Iran, the news this morning, I know it's early on the, it's still in the United States, a little later in the region, in the Middle East, but we await word on those conversations that are ongoing. There's been some slight progress. I don't want to exaggerate it, but there's been a little bit of movement, and that's good. The fundamentals remain the same. Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. And then added to this, of course, is the issue of the straits. Iran is trying to create a tolling system.
Yeah, there it is. The tolling system. And there's a little twist now to the... The question you had on Thursday about crypto and how the Treasury and General Bessent were able to capture the crypto, because that is all stablecoin. So now there's a little shift, and this is part of the tolling system that is a problem for the... It's a problem for anybody, but a problem for the U.S.
Crypto experts claim that foreign adversaries like Iran are using digital assets to evade sanctions and funnel money to bad actors. Darren Botello joining us now. Okay, Darren, how do we stop this?
Laugh till.
Hi, good morning, Stuart. The good news is the Trump administration is already stopping it. In fact, we confirmed that the U.S. Treasury has been able to trace some of Iran's money, and just last month they froze more than $300 million. This was in regime crypto, Stuart. Iran is reportedly launching a new digital insurance platform for cargo ships.
Digital insurance program. See, everyone's in the insurance game now.
This is in the Strait of Hormuz, and here's the kicker. They're settling payments entirely in Bitcoin. Basically, this is how it works. The companies pay the insurance companies in Bitcoin, and they get through the Strait safely. That's the trade-off. It's a direct move to dodge our banks and scoop up a fresh source of cash. And this covers a much larger shadow economy. New estimates from a threat detection data firm show Tehran is sitting on a crypto pile worth a staggering $7.7 billion. Woo! That war chest has been expanding ever since heavy sanctions cracked down. This was during the first Trump administration, by the way. And here's a look at the price of crude right now. The hot board's up. Prices are trading near recent highs as regional shipping tensions, they're flaring. But the regime is counting on crypto to keep its military funded.
Unfortunately, they keep using words like crypto. because, you know, crypto could be anything. Ethereum could be.
Well, he specifically said Bitcoin.
Yes, I know. That's what finally someone said Bitcoin. But, you know, it could be Trump's meme coin for all I know when they say crypto. But this is a problem because they cannot block Bitcoin from being used. But they have a plan.
The Treasury Department is tracking the digital breadcrumbs. And they're telling Fox, here's a statement over here, through economic fury, Treasury has taken actions that have led to the freezing of nearly $500 million worth of cryptocurrency linked to the Iranian regime, severing financial lifelines that Iran's regime and military depend on. According to crypto experts, Tehran's tech is actually their weak spot here.
We found over and over again that they're actually a much better asset for U.S. law enforcement and other agencies to track because you leave a lot of breadcrumbs.
So I said the administration is taking action, but how do we actually stop this? Industry insiders say Washington has a massive trump card here by threatening to cut off crypto exchanges from the American banking system. Regulators could actually then flush out these foreign adversaries.
Oh, please.
That's going to be a problem. Grab it at the crypto exchanges. Okay.
When did this report come out? Because this is old, because the price of oil dropped since this thing took place.
Oil's not way,
it's down to 97. Come on.
it was 102 when they had this. But it's going to look, the way I see it, I don't know exactly what the game is that's being played here. I'm for sure the oil guys are loving this because with any report, like, oh, we'll just make it more expensive. And we'll go up and we'll go down. And your gas station's like, oh, yeah, let's do $5. Oh, let's do $5.50. They can do whatever they want. But when the narrative has been cemented and they stop posting stuff on X, because I think there's just one dude that whose name we couldn't catch, then it's going to be over. And then it's going to go, and everything's going to come dropping down. And I think it's going to come down fast and hard. That's got to be, I'm just looking at, I have nothing to base this on other than what I think Trump is doing in his head by July 4th. And the futures will be $60 barrel of oil.
Well, they're going to have a hard time getting it down to 60, but it's possible.
The futures.
Well, futures or no futures, it's still hard to get down that far. You'll be buying that stuff up like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it also screws up our shale business.
Yeah, but those guys, they were already struggling. Remember, it was around $60 before all this kicked off.
Yeah, well.
Before, like, Venezuela days. Which is still flowing, I presume. I just got to presume.
Oh, yeah.
Venezuelan oil is doing. You don't hear about it.
Why would you?
Yeah, everyone's all obsessed. So I thought this autopsy of the Democrat Party, that was really interesting. Did you catch any of this?
Yeah, I caught the whole thing. I didn't think it was interesting in the least.
I thought it was. Why didn't you think it was interesting?
There wasn't anything new in there.
No, nothing new for us, but for the Democrat, it feels like the Democrats are just all of a sudden falling apart before the midterms, and they have no leader, and they're all mad at each other. I thought that was interesting, and so I brought two clips.
And now to the deepening divisions within the Democratic Party and the long-awaited release of the so-called 2024 election autopsy. The report was commissioned by Democratic National Committee Chairman Ken Martin. Its purpose to help the party understand why former Vice President Kamala Harris lost to President Donald Trump. Martin got an independent consultant to write it, but then put off its release saying it was badly done. After pressure from other Democrats today, the DNC chair published the 192-page draft that he says is still littered with typos and inaccuracies. The paper argues that Harris wrote off rural voters and failed to attack President Trump with the sufficient negative firepower. The DNC adding disclaimers that the autopsy doesn't reflect the committee's views. Our political pros are here to discuss. Ashley Etienne is a former communications director to VP Harris, and Corbin Trent is a former aide to AOC and Bernie Sanders. I thank you both for being here. Ashley, you were one of the people pushing for this report's release, and just hours ago you told our good friend Kristen Welker that Ken Martin should step down. Explain why.
Well, I think this is a complete failure of leadership. Ken Martin really has two jobs, really, is to run, to raise money, and to win elections. He chose to, instead of releasing a forward-looking document that lays out a vision on how to rebuild this party, how to win elections going forward from the state level to the national level, instead what he released is a pre-decisional document with critiques in it to cover his hide. That's really what's
at play
here. Unfortunately,
pre-decisional. I don't know.
What does it mean? Doesn't mean jack. She's just saying stuff.
I think we should use it ourselves.
It's pre-decisional for you to say that.
It's pre-decisional for you to say I'm pre-decisional.
Win elections going forward from the state level to the national level. Instead, what he released is a pre-decisional document with critiques in it to cover his hide. That's really what's at play here. Unfortunately, we've got a situation with democracy on the line. We've got the party is having struggles.
What?
Fundraising is polling at 28%. And Ken Martin made this entire autopsy debate about himself rather than about the party, about how to rebuild the party, and how to bring back what we're seeing, a bleeding support among the party's base vote voter.
Feels to me like a coup is underway.
They're trying to get rid of this Martin guy. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, well, who's
now, he was a dud when they put him in. We noticed this when they were doing it. Remember they did the, oh, you have to have so many lesbians voting, and then you have to have a gender-fluid person in there. And then they didn't pick one. They picked a white guy. We needed a BIPOC.
I forgot about that. Yes.
And then they picked some heteronormative guy. Who needs that?
Whatever happened to the kid from Florida? Wasn't he part of the leadership?
He was the second in command.
Yeah.
And they ousted him.
Oh, he already got kicked out?
Yeah, because there was too many white guys.
My goodness. So sad. Let me see. Was this anything?
He's still floating around on the online on some social networks, bitching.
Let me see if this is any good from... let me see.
Allies of former President Joe Biden failed to give Kamala Harris needed support before her 107-day sprint to Election Day in 2024.
No, that's no good. That's just the same.
Hey, by the way, I think Tom Yamas, who I like.
I know you do.
He, if you listen to him, is the way his voice is, he's got a kind of a funny lilt. He sounds like he's like one little accent away from sounding like a surfer dude.
I'll need to pay attention to it now.
Surfing, sounds like he's gonna drop right into hey man. Hey, cowabunga.
Hey man, what surfer says cowabunga?
That's what they used to say.
No, they've never. That was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There was never any surfer dude who said cowabunga. No.
Yeah, you check it out.
No. Meanwhile. Our top Democrat socialist of America is Mayor Mamdani? I can't remember.
I'm going to listen to you struggle.
Yeah. Well, okay. Thanks.
Mamdani.
Mamdani.